Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are continuing on with our year of the Bible, Genesis 18 through 20, still with some of the all-star, best-selling, longest-remembered passages in the Old Testament. We've got Abraham, setting off on his way with a couple weird things that happen along the way. The first one is in chapter 18, when we have the angels of the Lord, the three angels of the Lord, come and meet with Abraham. You might have seen the icon, the famous icon that has to do with that meeting, when the angels of the Lord promise again that Sarah will have a child. Now Abraham is depicted there as this extremely gracious, extremely hospitable, shepherd there, who practiced sort of extreme generosity with the visitors that show up. Sarah laughs when she hears that she's going to have a child, mirroring Abraham's own laughter from earlier. And why not? It had been a long time since she had been, as the Bible delicately puts it, in the manner of women, and so she has a bit of disbelief. But there it is. And then it cuts to that very unfortunate story about Sodom and Gomorrah, with Lot. You'll remember Abraham's nephew Lot, who had first been, setting up his pastoral tent right outside of Sodom, but then finds himself not living in the town. The Lord was going to destroy Sodom because of the iniquity of its people. And you get to see Abraham, this biblical depiction of Abraham as intercessor. And so he sort of makes this bargain with God. Now, an interesting thing about Abraham as intercessor here, sort of setting the type for intercessions that are to come. One of them is that, first of all, he's arguing with God, which is a nice thing, trying to change God's mind, and is able to do it. But also that the people that he's interceding for are not fellow Hebrews, right? Like, they're not family members, not Hebrews. On the contrary, they're sort of godless pagans who are there. And he asks, well, what if you can find 50 of them that aren't so bad? What about 10 of them? So a couple things to point out about that. One of them is that it assumes that there is some sort of universal moral order that everyone should know. And so you're able to, Abraham is able to look at the city. God is able to look at the city. The whole world's able to look at the city and say, no, that kind of stuff happening isn't right, which is something that you can only say if you believe there is some sort of universal moral order, in which some things are right and some things are wrong. So Abraham believes that in his sort of, but also that sort of larger sense of Abraham as, as the one through whom God provides blessings for the whole world, right? That it is, in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. It's not just Israel, it's not just Abraham's descendants, but rather everybody is going to benefit from Abraham's chosenness. And this sort of passage is a way of saying, and Abraham's worth it. Abraham's right up there for us. A sort of very virtuous depiction of Abraham versus the people in Sodom who are no bueno, and they have the angels end up there. They're sleeping outside, which is weird, and they shouldn't have to do that. Lot takes them in. He's still got that hospitable sort of ethos, right? That the nomads and the pastoralists have, and so he wants to be able to do that. No defending his willingness, right, to hand over his daughters rather than allow his guest to be violated there. No defense of that, except to say, such was the order of the day. Was it an order of the day that was any good? No. Nonetheless, reading the story sort of in its in its context, you can see Lot is trying to, you know, follow the law of hospitality and that kind of thing. Anyway, Abraham intercedes for him too. It is because of Abraham's intercession that Lot and his family are saved. So Lot and his wife leave their family. Lot's wife famously looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt, which is one of those little details that is given to explain the geography of the place. Same with Zoar there. She says she wants to go to that little town where Zoar means little, means small. Look at that town. It is a little one. That's what it's about. Anyway, so there is, I am told, salt and asphalt and sulfur and all that kind of stuff around in that area. So it's I don't know, to my mind, kind of like a funny little interlude before we continue with the birth of Isaac, which is what happens next. I guess one of the things that does show is, you know, there was a long time with a lot going on between the time of the original calling of Abraham, Abram, you know, from Ur of the Chaldees, and the actual birth of Isaac. A long time that covering we didn't talk about this, but about the circumcision covenant and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on. All this while, what are they supposed to do? You know, just hold on to this promise that God had made to them. And it must be getting more and more and more and more difficult to be able to do that. But sure enough, well, I won't give away chapter 21 just yet. So good job. I've got a friend here who's unfortunately had to listen to me prattle on. Say hello.
Hi.
Yeah, not so happy about that. But here we are with our Year of the Bible. Keep it on with it. And let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading, and see you again tomorrow.